Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Our little Super Bowl contest attracted lots of public radio foodies out there who love to shave a truffle or two in the pursuit of a perfect meal or a perfect kitchen mess. But this kind of thing is not for everyone, right, Ken?
My name is Ken Forkas. I'm calling from La Crosse, Wisconsin. Now, let me say that I love to cook, but I got home. It was 10 below zero, and I just wanted something. So I had leftovers, chicken and rice. Spent about 10 minutes to make it and about 2 minutes to eat it.
Leftovers. That's one answer to the could this cooking and eating thing not take up the whole day plea humanity has been quietly making for pretty much all of civilization. Cuisine is full of answers. Sandwiches are one. They're quick. Portable rice and beans will get you through a week. And add technology, and in the 1960s, inspired by the Mercury and Gemini astronauts, Pillsbury created space food sticks. Little bland, little chewy. You can't find them anymore.
To meet the demands of a long space flight, space food sticks had to be a compact, nutritious, high-energy food. That's why they make the perfect between-meal energy snack.
The lowly graham cracker was designed as a kind of superfood by a Presbyterian minister who wanted to curb carnal urges. What we ended up with was chocolatey marshmallow s'mores there. I don't know how much that worked. And an even more misguided food design story is told in the kitschy sci-fi classic Soylent Green. It said it was made out of algae on the package, but Charlton Heston figured it out.
You don't understand. I've got proof. It's people. Soylent Green is made out of people.
Yuck. Who would want to play around with that?
I was always fascinated by the idea of this dystopian future where there's gross overpopulation and there's this cheap staple meal to feed the masses made of soya and lentil, and it's called Soylent.
Well, 25-year-old Rob Reinhart knows all about the gross movie, but it's the original short story about Soylent called Make Room, Make Room by Harry Harrison that interests him. Reinhart's Soylent is not green. It's more grayish, precisely suited to human nutrition, and it requires no preparation. 20,000 customers have placed pre-orders of the stuff, $2 million worth in total, to be shipped in March. Entrepreneur Reinhart says he's found the better idea hungry people have been looking for centuries.
Well, it's only very recently, I believe, that we have a good enough understanding of the human body to really have not just all of the components, but the proportions, which are really optimal to live on. But there's also a lot to be said for the user experience. I mean, something that tastes like plastic obviously is not going to be very attractive.
Nope.
Make it kind of old if it's kind of bland. And also, I think cost is a very serious issue. In staple meals, people definitely want consistency. They want a low price, and they want something that's ideally very healthy. So I think that, you know, there's been a lot of attempts at this in the past. But, I mean, more so than graham crackers or space food, just the idea of the staple meal has evolved, you know, like rice and beans or noodles or even burritos or cheeseburgers. You know, if you look at all of these things, they are an approximate balance of macro and micronutrients. I mean, everything is going to have a little carbohydrate and fat and protein and hopefully some vitamins and minerals, but it's all very imprecise. You know, when you're dealing with these whole foods, it's really hard to control for. So I think now we have the understanding and the technology and especially the processing and scale to create something that's not only, you know, very well complete and balanced, but also make it very affordable.
Now, how interested are people in this based on, you know, we're getting ready for launch here of Soylent?
Extremely. I mean, this is something that it was only an idea about a year ago. And since we've raised quite a bit of private capital, over $1.5 million, and sold over 2 million in pre-orders to over 20,000 customers.
And these aren't like dieters. These aren't people who want to go live on Mars or in the biosphere or something, right?
Some of them may be interested in living on Mars, myself included. However, a lot of people were probably like myself a year ago, just kind of busy, kind of short on time and money. And, it's not really a diet thing. I see it more as a life simplification tool. You know, food is very complicated. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of thought, you know, trying to decide what to eat all the time. There's just so many options. There's so much complexity. I think it's a lot to worry about all the time, and it's just really nice if there was this option where you just didn't have to be bothered.
And how many days a week would you imagine eating Soylent?
I eat Soylent every day.
Every day. So in your world, Thomas Keller, get lost.
To each his own. I'm not much of a foodie. I'd rather be working on my computer or reading books. You know, I have a lot of interests, but cooking and eating isn't really one of them. And I think that, you know, I see the appeal as a hobby, but I just have other hobbies, and it's really nice to have an option.
Now, what's the recipe for a Soylent, in so much as you can give away some of the proprietary secrets here?
Nothing's really proprietary, actually. The entire recipe is online, open source. There's actually quite a thriving DIY community. Hundreds of people have kind of taken offshoots of the recipe and tried their own at making it. The recipe is complicated. Food is very complicated. There are 33 different ingredients, everything the body needs, every vitamin, mineral, macronutrient. We've paid a lot of attention to the ratios, different fatty acid ratios, amino acid profile, glycemic index.
What about the, I'm just kind of spitballing here, taste?
It's okay. It's kind of bland. In fact, I prefer it that way. You know, if you had something that was very sweet or very stimulating over and over again, you would get really tired of it. This, you know, it's not the tastiest thing you'll ever have, but I think that's what makes it so compelling for me. You know, I don't have to worry about how good it tastes. It just tastes kind of complete. It's good enough. It gets the job done, and then I can get on with my day.
Is that what's written on the box? Gets the job done, and then I can get on with my day?
It's not written on the box. Some people do flavor it themselves, but I think it's the default flavor is good enough.
And if you want to kind of go wild, Rob, you could just, you know, grab a jar of peanut butter, right?
Yeah, actually, I had peanut butter soil this morning.
Rob Reinhart, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Rob Reinhart is the inventor of Soylent. The first batch of shipments goes out March 1st. So how long did you spend making dinner last night? Would Soylent be a good solution for you, or just kind of take all the fun out of everything?
Hi, John. This is Patricia in Hollywood. As a mother of four, I used to cook a huge meal, meat, potatoes, vegetables, rice, all of that. Now I'm empty nest. I simply microwave frozen vegetables, pour on a little bit of cheese, and that's my gourmet meal for the night.
Ah, the microwave. Here's something a little more elaborate on the dinner table in Palo Alto, California. I made Thai-style tilapia in coconut milk, lemongrass, ginger, garlic, lime, jalapeno, cilantro, basil, red bell pepper, and mushrooms over fried brown rice. Took about 1.5 hours. Chris might want to try some Soylent.
Hi, this is Chris from Louisville, Kentucky. I had a Subway sandwich, and it took me about 5 seconds to unwrap it on the prep time.
They got to work on that wrapping over at Subway. We always want to hear from you, 877-8-MY-TAKE, or find us on Twitter, at The Takeaway.